Hi, this is Heaton Shaw.
And this is Stelly Efty.
And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to manage startup stress.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah. We want you to do your best.
And I know Stelly has a few things before we get started. We're both remote right now. And I believe there's a shout out.
Yes. So I'm currently in Dublin, Ireland, and I want to give a big shout out to the Startup Chat listener, Clive Murray from SoakTech. Clive is so awesome. Not just did he pick me up from the airport and drove me to the hotel, he picked me up at the airport at like 1:40 a.m. in the morning to drive me to the hotel. I had a massive delay in Frankfurt, and I was writing him messages saying it's okay for him not to pick me up. I'll just take a cab. And he insisted. He was super nice. And we had like a 40-minute ride where we were able to talk business and life and figure a bunch of things out. So thanks again, Clive. And thanks to all the awesome Startup Chat listeners that I'm meeting all around the world. You guys are awesome.
Awesome.
Let's talk about startup stress.
Let's do it. I was talking to a founder who's actually a pretty regular religious listener of the podcast. And he was going through some pretty hard stuff, like, seemingly with his company. And he just kept talking about it. And then he was talking about some of the stresses that are coming up. And stresses are just like, things between co-founders, or I'm trying to go get my first 10 customers, which I did point into our episode, by the way, Stelly, and stuff like that. And the thing that came to me, and he really felt like we should talk about it, and that's why we came up with this title of this episode, is that I basically told him, like, all those things that just happened to you, maybe like, let's say 3-4 weeks ago or over the last 3-4 weeks, I would put those as like a 3 out of 10 on the stress level. But you, the way you were referring to them, this is what I was telling him, it felt like you were thinking these were like a 7 or 8 out of 10. And instantly, I think a whole bunch of stress was relieved for him, simply because he could rejigger that hardship, which during it, he probably thought it was pretty hard. Now, after it, he's still thinking it was hard and difficult and grueling. And I'm trying to tell him that actually what's going to come next in the next weeks, months, years is probably going to be a lot worse than whatever you dealt with before. And even if it's not, you have to be prepared for that. So a way to prepare would be rejigger your, or actually quantify your stress, and then start thinking about it more and more to figure out how can you score and rescore things that happen to you so that you can sort of move forward more effectively and deal with stress in a much more manageable way.
I love that. It's such a simple system to, well, what you basically do is you use simple math / logic to create perspective. At least that's in my mind. Or to put things into context, greater context, right? But context is such a complex concept that it's tough to say, well, you think right now things are really stressful, but they could be much worse and they have been much worse in the past. So it's not really that bad. That alone, just telling somebody that might not be as helpful as externalizing the stress that's a very internal experience on a piece of paper or whatever it is and writing down a number, right?
Yeah, we were just talking about it, right? Because I knew that the way he was talking about the past, he felt like it was more stressful than it should have been. And he needed to recognize that that stress was not actually, that difficult to deal with compared to other stresses like running out of money, or not being able to make payroll, or, having to shut down your company, or going and figure out how to get Aqua hired, or, not being able to make payroll. Again, I put that one in again, because that's a very common one. But I think it was just more about, for me, it was more about quantifying it. So we weren't actually writing it down. We were actually just talking through it. And of course, if you're on your own, it might be better to write it down. So I really like that idea. But yeah, it's super rational.
So let me ask you, what was the impact of that? So he seemed to you, in your observation, to be like feeling that the stress he's currently going through is much stronger, much more intense than you thought he should be feeling about it. After you talked about it that way, what happened? What was the kind of impact of that? Of that thought process or thought exercise?
It felt like he instantly was able to relate to it in a way that he wasn't before. Mm. So before he was relating it to it like, oh, this is happening to me. It's really stressful. I got through it, but it was hard, right? And I was trying to make him think about it like, well, if that was hard, then whatever's coming up might be harder. So do you really want to think about that as that hard? Because if it's going to happen again and you're going to think it's that hard, then you're going to go through the same emotional roller coaster. Well, if you can rejigger it and say, I've already been through it, and it actually wasn't as bad as I thought when I was in it. And now I'm going to say it's a 3 out of 10. and instead of a 7 out of 10 that I thought while I was in it. And just verbalizing that and helping him think through that made him realize that there's a lot more to come and that the stress level of these things should have a different scale than what he was thinking. And one of the reasons, like, I think this is really powerful is like, and why I wanted to talk about it, even though he was really insistent, it's because like, this is like such a core fundamental problem that I have to talk to founders about all the time. And now I realize that like, if it can't be quantified, it turns into what you describe, right? It turns into like all these things that are almost ephemeral, like the worries you have are going to go away, but you don't feel like that in the moment because you're not quantifying it. You're not sitting there and saying, oh, this feels like crap, you know, or this feels great. Or like, you know, oh, I've felt worse than this before. Thus, this is not as bad as I think of it right now.
Right. You know, there's a beautiful graph that I saw once, and it was in some very popular blog post about kind of the entrepreneurial experience and dealing with stress and all that. And it was basically, it has two trend lines in there. One was the wild up and down swings of the startup. It was going up and down and up and down and up and down, but the overall trend line was up and to the right. But it was just not a straight line. It was just going up and down in waves. But the overall trend over the 7 years or something was going up. And then there was a second trend line, and that was the emotional happiness level of the founder. And that line was going up and down and up and down in parallel as the ups and downs of the startup. But it was a flat up and down line because when you miss perspective, all you really know is, yes, today's a worse day than yesterday, so I'm unhappy. Today's a better day than yesterday, so I'm really happy. But you don't compare that happiness or that worse or better to your last, you know, to last year's worst and better, right? So I think that humans are just really bad at putting things into perspective. And it's for us to be really, really stressed out, it sometimes doesn't take much more than for things today to be at a slightly worse place than they were yesterday. So I love the putting numbers behind things kind of forces you to think about things more holistically. And with that, just the way you think about how you feel can put a completely different energy to those emotions. There's one thing that I tell public speakers all the time when they ask me for tips, and we talked about this before, where it's like the difference between fear and excitement, the emotion is the same. The difference is the way you think about it. If you just take that feeling of fear and nervousness before you have to go on stage to speak, and you tell yourself, this is excitement. I am excited. Let the excitement out. Speak louder, speak more animated. You're going to be able to utilize and channel that energy versus saying, I'm really afraid. I'm really afraid. I'm going to bomb. Oh my God, I'm so nervous. This is going to be horrible. But the emotion that you feel, the energy you feel in your body is fairly similar. It's just the way you think about it that makes a big, big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just changing your perception of something.
So I love that use numbers and put things into perspective. Now, as you were describing, you know, hey, dude, your problems today are 3, you think there are 7, but look at all these other problems as a founder you could go through that would be 7, 8s, and 9s. I was thinking, yes, and all these 7, 8s, and 9s are really just 2s and 3s compared to a different set of problems, right? Health problems, death in the family, war, right? Economic downturns. Like it's fun. I don't know how much you can scale it, but it's funny that even things that as in the founder scale, you know, you have to let go of people, your company is bankrupt, you know, you lost some things that are really, really severe within the context of your startup. If you use another scale, again, kind of it rejiggers that scale, and these things are not 7, 8s, and 9s. All of a sudden, these things are 3, 4s, and 5 because you're healthy and you have food and nobody died, right? So let me ask you this question. A lot of times when I'm annoyed or something happens that I don't like, it can be small, it can be bad, I do have that internal mantra or exercise where I'll have this inner dialogue that asks oneself, what could be a worse scenario? Let's say I'm stuck in a you know, traffic jam, and I'm going to be late to the next meeting, and I'm 1 hour and I'm still stuck in the traffic jam. One very natural thing for me to think in that situation as I start to get annoyed or stressed is to tell myself, it could be worse. I could have been in a car accident, or I could have been in the accident that caused this traffic jam. All in all, I'll survive this. I'm going to be late, whatever. It doesn't matter. This is kind of a daily thing in many situations. Well, think about a worse scenario, and I come back to where I am, and I go, compared to this, this is actually good. Shut the fuck up and live, you know, move on with life. Don't complain. Don't get irritated by this. What are how do you deal with the other situations other than the really severe ones where you have to fire people or let go of people? And how do you, what other tools have you found to deal with the stress of being a founder other than the using a numeric system to put a scale to this thing?
I really like this is it's so interesting. Like most people will even do this. Like the reason I find this really fascinating is like most people will even do this like in their heads to help them feel better about the situation they're going through. For example, when we had a class action lawsuit, I was actually we got sued, and so there's a whole bunch of legal work. Then we had to get lawyers, and then we had to, you know, go deal with it, manage it, you know, and then figure out what's the impact or risk of it. And what I realized was that if you asked me in the first 3 to 5 days of it, how stressed I was on it, you would have got 11 out of 10, 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10, right? If you asked me after we did a blog post about it that was well-written by the lawyers with us, you know, with their guidance and all this stuff, I was probably down to about 6 or 7 out of 10. Then a week after that, we had a process in the system. My co-founder was handling the lawyers. We had already made all the phone calls to all the customers because it was us and a bunch of customers. And then at that point, I would say my stress was probably a 3 out of 10 on the whole situation. And from then onwards, it was essentially a 3 out of 10, except maybe once or twice when they made me talk to the lawyers, the other side lawyers and stuff like that. Otherwise, for my co-founder, it's probably a good 5 out of 10 the whole time from that point on. So he was burdening a lot of the stress. So when you have co-founders, just like the Batman and Robin, there's a lot of balancing that you can do. And if you do that balancing right, then you're essentially offloading stress back and forth. I'm sure you do this with your co-founders or it's automatically happening. For example, if there is a sales or a marketing issue, I don't have to worry about it because I know my co-founder's going to be on top of it. If there's an engineering or product issue, which there never isn't, he doesn't have to worry about it. I'm on top of it and his stress level is always going to be lower than mine unless he needs to jump in and help, which is rare. Right. So this actually goes along with the Batman and Robin-ing. This goes along with, and it's almost like, you know, if I were to just put it out there, it's probably one of the core themes that you and I dance around, which is the idea that you can change the way you think about something and that can change the way you execute.
Yep. And for those that are wondering, we did an episode about the Batman and Robin dynamic between founders, and it's episode 47 for those that want to check that one out. So this is very much about kind of distributing stress, which comes back to like working with teams or having a co-founder where you can divide up things so that you make sure that you know, you don't have to shoulder everything that's going on in the company. And if that's what's happening, then there's kind of an unhealthy dynamic within the founding team or the company team in general. But I like the way you described this was like the situation is happening, so you're like 11 out of 10, the first reaction, right? Which is usually very emotional. Never encountered this situation, seems very severe. I overreact. Second step, okay, we talked to some experts, we externalized, we thought some things through, calm down, it's 7 out of 10. And then the next step is, okay, now we divide and conquer, there's a process in place, and I'm now back focused on doing something else, and my co-founder is focused on this situation, and now I'm a 3 out of 10. It's kind of a beautiful step-by-step process. And I think that the biggest key there from going from 11 to 3 is probably taking action, right? And taking action is not necessarily instantly reacting, but instantly seeking advice, bringing in an expert, talking to a number of people that have encountered the situation. And a lot of times that's an instant, you know, context infusion into the situation because you think, oh my God, this is the end of the world. And then you talk to somebody that has sued and has been sued 40 times. And the person goes, oh, that's not a big deal. I've done this plenty of times. We've gone through this many, many times. And just hearing those words can calm somebody down massively and go, you know, this is what's happening. Don't worry about it so much. Talk to this lawyer. Talk to this other founder who has experience with this. And just talking to somebody that has lived through the thing that's stressful for you itself, I find a lot of times just puts an instant kind of puts instant context to the situation and makes you reevaluate and rejigger the scale and go, oh, okay, I'm inexperienced talking to somebody who knows what they're talking about. This seems not to be that severe. Relax.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that you use the word relax right there because I think that it's actually a relaxing exercise. Being able to just take something that was stressful and say, can I really score it? Can I really quantify this, right? And more importantly, like the thing that I found that was really valuable for me was as we had more challenges, the last most stressful thing is essentially where the bar sat. So if a startup or you know, you're a founder, you're CEO, whatever, and you started a company and you've never really had that hardship, your only way to quantify something really hard you're dealing with is by something really hard you're dealing with right then and there, because you haven't really had much hardship, right? Or many things that got in your way. Now, if you've had many things that get in your way, it can go one of two ways. You can give up because it just keeps getting harder, right? Or you can start scoring and realize that like it's actually getting easier. So it's almost it's not a trick, but it's a way for you to realize it's actually getting easier. And it's not that it's getting harder. But if you've had a situation where it's been pretty smooth sailing, what I've seen is that people get really shocked when something really hard happens. So this is even useful then, right? If you feel like, you know, you haven't really had anything that hit more than a 6 or 7 out of 10 on the stress level, you know, it can be useful because you just need to remember that like quantifying it and then quantifying it continually, if it's a situation that's a little more long-term, can really help you think about how much attention, energy, and effort should I put into this? That's really what it boils down to, right? If you're in the middle of it and you're trying to score it and understand something.
Yeah. And the one really powerful idea here, I think, is the idea that learning to deal with stress and learning to deal with really severe situations better and better is an essential entrepreneurial skill, right? And of course, that comes with experience. But if you think about people that are at the top of the game and the people that are creating a lot more value than other people, one skill set that is incredibly valuable, and it's not something that we think of as a skill or as something that we can practice and learn and get better at, is dealing with stress. Dealing with situations that are negative and where there's no easy solution to fix, or dealing with situations that most other people in your company or team will not know what to do about. And so going through these phases where you deal with sevens, eights, and nines is not just a challenge or something that should, you know, throw you off your balance in your game, but you should think about these situations also as something that opportunities to build a skill to deal with these situations, because they're going to come up more and more and more. And as a founder or an entrepreneur, the better you can deal with stress and the better you can deal with these really challenging situations, the more valuable you're going to be and the more successful you're going to be ultimately in overcoming them.
Yeah.
All right.
I wholeheartedly agree. And any tools we can use to manage stress, I think we need to use. And this just quantifying it and taking a step back and quantifying it, regardless of whether you're in it, it happened before, or something's happening right now, like are going to happen, I think it just changes the way your mental state is. And that's really important, because then you can keep going and actually solve your problem, right?
Yep. All right. So let's end this episode with a tip each. I'm going to start off and give something that's, I don't know if it's a tip, but I like that we, in this episode, try to give people tools to think differently about their stress and then be able to deal with it much better and relax. So I saw this once on a t-shirt, on a poster or somewhere. It was this slogan that said, or the sentence that said, stress just means you're giving a fuck, right? Or being stressed means you're giving a fuck. And I love that, because I never thought about it that way, to be honest. And it is a more empowering way to think about it. If you think about it, is, you know, when you're really, really stressed out, that truly just means that you're somebody that's very, very caring, somebody that cares about his company or her company, that cares about the people involved with the company, that cares about your customers, that cares about your friends, your family, that cares about, you know, it just means you care. And because you care so much, when something seems threatening to the thing you care about or seems, you know, challenging, it affects you emotionally. I don't know why, but I just find it to put a smile on my face, or to just make the stress itself instantly feel differently. If you don't think about it just as threatening, but if you think about it, it's not just a threatening situation. It is a threatening situation just because I'm a very caring person and I truly, truly am caring and dedicated to this thing. That's why I feel so strongly about it right now.
I like that. So my tip's going to be about what I would call conversion. So anytime you have something negative, stress generally starts negative. My advice is to convert it to something positive. So the process of conversion is kind of what I would say we talked about today, because what we did was we talked about how you can take a stressful situation, give it a score. And so I guess my tip is to identify when you need to convert some energy, some focus, or some feeling into something usually the direct opposite. So I know we've talked about like stress before and how to convert it to action. That's essentially what I'm talking about. If you can take that stress, score it, then your real key, the tip I would give you is you're really just trying to take it, make it into the next level.